When you're downloading software on your computer or an app for your phone, how often do you actually read the privacy policy that you're agreeing to when you click on I agree? Now, if you're like me and most other people, you don't bother. You just want the thing to work. If you're at all concerned about your privacy, that could end up being a real problem. Joining me now is privacy scholar Florian Schaub, who is an assistant professor at the University of Michigan. Welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So when we hear data breaches, which seems to be a few times a month these days, we get concerned, but they're happening so often, it's kind of happening and we're just like, it's not affected me yet. Nobody's stolen my identity, so I'm not going to worry about it. Are we just being too easy when we're offering all this information up?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of questions in there, right? So first, yes, we see lots of these data breaches and you get letters in the mail, oh, you've been involved in this data breach. And the impulse for many people is to just ignore it. But that can be a really bad impulse because recovering from someone actually stealing your identity and using your identity to procure new credit cards or new phones or other things, it's really expensive and time-consuming to recover from that, whereas taking some precautionary measures is actually not that hard.
I want to get to the precautionary measures you're talking about, both for the companies and for us, but you cited in one of your articles a 2008 study which estimated it would take 244 hours a year for the typical American internet user to read all the privacy policy for all the websites that they visited, and that was in 2008. I mean, that's before we started downloading a lot of apps on our phones. I'm just wondering, how are we supposed to navigate all of that when it's being thrown at us at every visit?
Yeah, I think you can't reasonably read all the privacy policies that you encounter, right? Like, as you said, that was 2008. Now we have smartphones, we have smart thermostats, we have cars that collect information, share information. So it's impossible to read all these privacy policies. At the same time, when you use a service, it is seen as consent with that privacy policy. So you're agreeing to that privacy policy. And one of the underlying problems is that in the United States, we don't have a general consumer privacy law at the moment. So we have very specific laws like HIPAA for protecting the privacy of health information or COPPA for protecting children online. But in general, as long as companies are transparent about what they're doing with your data, that means they write it down in a privacy policy.
That we don't read.
Yeah. There's very little that kind of limits what they can do, except for the Federal Trade Commission, who then, when their consumer complaints, checks these privacy policies and makes sure there's nothing deceptive or unfair.
So you suggest these should be more transparent or at least easier to understand, and they should be giving us some options. So what are you thinking about?
Yeah, so I think what's important to actually inform people and not just claim they agree to a privacy policy is we need to better integrate privacy information into how people interact with technology. It's not realistic that people read a multi-page statement before they sign up for Facebook or something else. But it's also not really what you need. It's not like Facebook is collecting all of the information at the moment when you sign up. It's stuff that happens when you're actually using the service. So having shorter notices that are actually presented when a certain data collection starts for the first time and then giving you a simple choice, yes, no, would be a way forward. And we're actually seeing this on smartphones. So if you have a current smartphone, you often get these pop-up messages. This app wants to access your location. This app wants to access your contacts.
Which is nice because, you know, at least you're not blanket giving it away. But at the same time, those are a nuisance, especially if you're on the road and your GPS or something pops up something. And then a lot of these other things you're talking about, like, you know, do you want to give us access about your location? I might want to do that for my GPS, but I might not want to do that for most of the other things. So if you're talking about getting permission more often, could that just turn into a nightmare for the user?
Yeah, I don't think the goal is to get permission more often. It is to make these permissions more fine-grained, right? So when I open Google Maps, for example, or Apple Maps, doesn't matter, right? I kind of expect that it will use my location. So if I see a pop-up, hey, is it okay for this app to use your location? I can easily say yes. If the same app is asking me for access to my text messages or my contacts, right? Like I can make a judgment in this situation and say like, I don't see a reason why this map app needs to have that data, and I can say no. And what we're actually seeing is that consumers are saying no to unreasonable requests. And as a result, mobile developers are putting much more care into kind of prefacing these permission dialogues with information, what they're actually going to be doing with that data, why are they collecting it, and what it's used for. And I think that's a good way towards more of a dialogue between the company and the consumer to say, like, this is okay, this is not okay. If you don't allow us to use this information, then we can't give you this particular service, but you can still use other features.
Which the bigger companies, the smarter companies are doing, but there are a lot of companies who are still saying, you either say yes or you get no access at all, and that's it. So is that going to change over the next several years?
I don't have a crystal ball. I think it should change. So one of the big problems is that, as I said earlier, in the US, we don't have a general privacy law that limits what companies can do with data. So I think what we really need is more reasonable limits on how personal data can be used. And if we look to Europe, which this year a new privacy law came into effect, the General Data Protection Regulation, it's a much more stringent but also more reasonable protection framework that basically says any kind of data collection is prohibited unless there are specific legal reasons for which you need that data. And that provides stronger protections for consumers. And the ironic thing is that American companies who are doing business in Europe actually have to follow this law. So Facebook, Google, Microsoft, Apple, all these companies are following the European privacy laws already, but it's really at their mercy whether they make those stronger protections also available to US consumers.
But there's money in data. And I can only imagine a lot of these software companies are going to be fighting this. I mean, they might have to adjust because of public pressure, but they certainly don't want government regulation to tell them, you can't make money on this data you've gathered. Where's the balance?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of points there. So on the one hand, yes, companies want to make money, and I think no one is saying companies shouldn't be making money. But I don't think it's fair or a good way how we do it at the moment, where basically lots of these business models are built on the fact that people don't know what data is collected about them and how it is used, right? Like whenever you go to a website, there are probably 15 to 20 advertising trackers on that website recording that you looked at this particular article. The websites often don't even know which trackers are active on the website because they sell that space out. A lot of this kind of happens in the dark. And I think what we need to do is we need to bring this more on the forefront, right? Like, this is our business model. This is how we make money. Are you okay with this particular use of your data? Yes and no. So that's kind of what I think should happen. In terms of the companies, there's also this aspect that companies are not necessarily opposed to regulation because it might create a clearer target for them to work towards in terms of what are the protections that are required, what is okay. Whereas right now, there's no consistent standard across industries.
And sure, it's a wild west out there.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, many US companies are already complying to European law, which is much stricter in terms of privacy. So it's not like it would cost them a lot of money to actually implement these protections.
I think the most serious data breach that we've heard about in recent years is the Equifax breach. And that's really serious because we're talking about our credit ratings then, which can affect everything in our life. So how does that happen to begin with? And how can we help ourselves not let something like that happen?
Yeah, so the Equifax breach last year was a huge breach affecting hundreds of millions of US consumers. And the big problem with that particular breach is that you don't have to be a customer of Equifax to be involved in this, right? Like, Equifax keeps credit records of you whether you want that or don't want that. And part of the information that was released is names, social security numbers, date of birth, right? All the ingredients you need for stealing someone's identity and misusing it. We conducted a study where we actually talked with people to see how they reacted to that data breach. And what we found quite surprisingly is that many people did not react at all. So we tried to analyze why is that the reason. And while there are things like optimism bias, people underestimating the chance that they're actually affected by this.
Even though we knew hundreds of millions of people were affected.
Exactly, yeah. Well, you know, they think, why would my record be used for identity theft? Or we had people who said, well, I don't have that much money and my credit rating is already low. What would people want with my data? The problem is identity thieves don't really work like that, right? Like, they don't do extensive research to figure out, like, oh, are you a juicy target or not? They just want a valid identity they can use to go off and procure some kind of service for themselves. So one way, the most effective way of actually protecting yourself against data breaches is to freeze your credit. The occasions where you really need someone to check your credit are very rare. You buy a new house, maybe you sign up for a new cable provider, right? New credit card. Like, it's things that happen maybe once a year, maybe every other year. So in the meantime, there's no reason for your credit file to be accessible. And in September, a new federal law came into effect that makes credit freezes free, which means anyone can now go place a credit freeze and have their data secured, and unfreezing them when they actually need someone to look up their credit is also relatively easy. Now, what's important for this to be effective is you not just need to do that at Equifax, you have to do it at all three major credit bureaus. So Equifax, Experian, TransUnion. If you just do it at one, yes, you're partially protected, but you're not fully protected. So you need to make sure you really do it at all three.
Now, I read that you're working with something called the Usable Privacy Project. I think we've talked about some of the elements that have come out of that project. What exactly is the goal there?
Yeah, so the Usable Privacy Policy Project is a collaboration among the Carnegie Mellon University, the University of Michigan, and Fordham University. And it's an interdisciplinary project to get to a place where we can provide more reasonable privacy information to people and make it easier for them to really have choices and have be in control of their privacy. So we've been working extensively on analyzing privacy policies, partially with machine learning and crowdsourcing to extract relevant information, make this available in better interfaces, and at the same time providing best practices to industry in how you can present privacy information to users in a way that's useful but also actionable, so that people actually want to read it and can do something with that information, and in a way that's not annoying but rather integrated into the interaction with the technology.
Florian Schaub is an assistant professor of information and an assistant professor of electrical engineering and computer science at the University of Michigan. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.